All right. Good morning, everyone. So this morning, we are beginning the seventh Iker. So the seventh Iker is, in a certain sense, a very logical next step from the previous Iker, the Iker of Nevuah. It moves into the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it really begins somewhat of a subset of its own group of the 7th, 8th, and 9th Ikrim, which were about the Torah. And the 6th Iker is about prophecy in general, and the 7th, 8th, and 9th are about a very unique level of prophecy, level of revelation, which is that of the Torah. And we'll discuss exactly what the nuance of each of these Ikrim is and how they fit together and in what ways they overlap and what ways they're different. But in a very broad sense, we could say that the focus of all three of these upcoming Ikrim is the ninth, maybe less so, but also even the ninth, because Nuri, but that the focus of these three Ikrim is Moshe Rabbeinu and different ramifications or outcomes of the specific nature of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, all of which are very central to building the structure of the binding nature of mitzvot. So we're going to discuss today just the seventh Iker has several components to it. and maybe split it up into three parts. So the Iker, the main point, is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll see, develop this point further, but the real, to focus it in, the point of this Iker is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis other Nevi'im. The difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets. And so this manifests itself in two ways, which the Rambam will discuss both of them. And also, there's a point where he talks about the person Moshe Rabbeinu himself, which hopefully we'll have a class about what the idea, why that's important also. But today we're just going to focus on really the first line of this Iker, and the first line of this Iker really is the entire way in which the Ani Mamin expresses this Iker. We've mentioned before the Ani Mamin is not necessarily always the most reliable relay of what the Iker of the Rambam is about. It's a summary. It's not written by the Rambam. It's unknown who wrote it. It's not necessarily capturing the essence of the Iker. But in the Ani Mamin really is basically the first line of this Iker, which is Hayasod Hashavi Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, is the Nevuah of Moshe, Vehu Shenamin Shehu Avihen Shel Kol Hanavim, that he is the father of all prophets, Shekadmu Lefanov Vehabayim Acharav, that he is the father of all prophets, both who came before him and who come after him. So we have to understand what this term means, that he is the father of the prophets, what it means that he could be the father of the prophets who came before him. We have to understand exactly what that means. And we'll also have to understand, you know, on a simple level, we would just say that, you know, the point of this Iker is that, you know, no Navi is going to come up later who could compete with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's very important because, therefore, you can't have someone come along and change the Torah. Why would that necessitate an understanding of the prophets who came before Moshe Rabbeinu? That's, if you believed that for Moshe and Moshe, why would that make it? There aren't going to be coming up after Moshe any prophets who are before Moshe, by definition. Right? So why is it important to recognize the relationship of Moshe Rabbeinu even to the prophets who came before him? And these two questions are tied together. What does it mean that he's the father of prophets who came before him, and what's the significance of understanding his relationship vis-a-vis the prophets who came before him? Two questions are very linked. So first thing we have to do is to understand what it means when we say he is the father of all prophets. So obviously we are not referring to the biological father of all prophets, because first of all, obviously you cannot be the biological prophet of people who came before you, but also there's no, you don't have to be descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu to be a prophet, so you, the prophets who are after him also, there's no biological relationship. So what does it mean here that he is the father of all prophets? So Corey wants to make a suggestion.
Well, I think it's a Lashon Av in Hebrew. It was used to have the for Tumah, when there's something that's the highest level of Tumah. It's called the Avi Av of Tumah. And it communicates that that is the highest level, and it can then filter down to all other things. So Moshe's Nevuah must have been the highest level possible for a human being.
You said something in the middle of your exposition there that I want to pick up on in a minute, but first, David?
And maybe just to add to your point, maybe the source also.
Ah, very good. So you said that from there it's
like the source of the
right, from there it can filter down. So that's really what is right. We have Avatoma, right? The Gemara says Avos Michlal De'ika Toldos, right? The fact that there are Avos, their fathers, implies that there are, let's not translate Avos, from the fact that there are Avos, implies that there are toldos, that there are outgrowths, that there are things, that there are results from that, right?
That he be the forehead.
Right, so very good. So let's start. So the Rambam himself in Mor Nevochim on the second page here. So here, I have to admit, I am pulling this out of the Rambam. This is by no means the Rambam's purpose here, but the Rambam here is defining the term Yeled, or Yalad, and within the context here, this is in Parak Zion of Mor Nevochim, and in the context here, he also starts to talk about what it means to be a Ben, but the Rambam here gives a broad general description of what the idea of a Yeled is, and a Ben, and, you know, by working backwards, by contrast, you can then understand what an Av is, what it means to be a father. But the Rambam here says, we're going to go through it, the beginning part very quickly, because the way the Rambam works is he has what the most obvious, straightforward definition is, and then he refers to what it is borrowed to mean, which means the other usages of the word which are being used in the same idea and a more general application of what that word means. So Yeled, a inyan move on mimilazu yadua v'hua holada, right? It means birth. The yaldu lo banim, right? You have sons. That's Yeled. Ba'achar kachusha lashon zeh lahamtsa sadvar mativim b'terem har miladu. Then from there the term is extended to include even the creation, the bringing about of natural things, b'terem harim yuladu, before the mountains were born, means before they were formed, before they were created. V'hushal gam l'inyan hatzmachas ha'adama, mashi matzmicha, dimulida, v'holida v'hetzmicha, that's extended to plant growth, the things that grow out of something, so that which sprouts out of the ground is called that which the ground is holida, gives birth to. V'hushal gam l'me'uros hazman ki'ilu heim in yanim shenoldu, and then it's extended to events, the vicissitudes of time, that as if they are things that are born. Kilo seda ma yalad yom, you don't know what the day will give birth to. V'hushal zeh gam l'chidushe hamachashavos. The umasha mechayvim min hasvaros vashitos kamosha amar vayalad shaker. That, and then it was extended to the creation, the innovation of thoughts, and that which the line of reasoning which bears itself out from a certain the ideas that are the logical conclusion of a certain line of thought. Umizeh nemar uvayalde nachrim yashkifu holchim b'hashkafu sehem, that they follow after their hashkafa, and therefore they are called their yeled, their kemosh amar yonason ben uziel ala torah b'targumo u'benimusei amamaya azlin, right? Okay, so v'hine lefia inyan hazeh, and according, this is really the whole chapter here, I think, forms this image, but this line specifically, v'hine levia inyan hazeh, according to this idea, Misha Lamad Adam Eza Davar, Va'atzo Lo Hashkafa, somebody who teaches someone a certain thing and, you know, brings together by him a certain Hashkafa, Ki'ilu Yalad Oso Adam. It's as if he has given birth to that person, Mipnesha Hu Ba'al Oso HaHashkafa, because he is really the master of that Hashkafa, he is really the one who is in charge of that Hashkafa. Ube'inyin zeh nikru talmidei hanavim b'nei hanavim. And in this way, the students of the Nevi'im, there was when there were the Nevi'im who are already experienced practicing Nevi'im, and then there were apprentices, somebody who was learning how to be a Navi, apprenticed himself with an experienced Navi in order to learn all the ropes of Nevuah, the Ramchal, in thoroughly discusses exactly why this is so necessary, that they had to learn how to accurately be a Navi. They could otherwise make mistakes. But in any case, he says, the reason that the students of the Nevi'im are called the B'nai HaNevi'im is for this reason, because since they are being formed by the instruction, by the guidance of the master Navi, so they are called the son of that Navi because they are really being shaped and formed by that Navi, and therefore they are called his son. So what is the Ben and what is the Av? The Ben is that which is caused by that which is put together, that which is shaped, or that which is built by the Av. The Av, the way I would say it, what David really said very nicely, is the Av. Av is really the source. Av is a makar, is a source of something. A source of something else is a... the Av is the source of something else. And therefore you have what Corey was referring to. You have Avos Atuma, and you have Avos Malacha, right? If you have an Av Malacha, you have Toldos of that Av. You have the things that Av is the Torah source of it, and you have related concepts which are outgrowths of that Malacha, right? And similarly, by Avos Atuma, in the Torah, in the formulation of Drashos, you have something called a Binyan Av, which is when you have one law which is the source for the other laws that are extensions of that law. You see the concept expressed in one example in Halacha, and they say that is a binyan av for all other cases of all other occurrences of that Halacha. That's a binyan av. It's that Halacha is the source for applying that Halacha to all the other cases. That's the idea. I believe that is also why we call Hashem the Av Harachamim, because Hashem is the source of Rachamim. Source of Rachamim, I believe that's what we mean when we call Hashem the Av Harachamim. But in any case, but that's the idea of what it means to be an Av. So how does that, what does that have to do with the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? So if you turn the page, we are going to now learn together the entirety of chapter 8 of Hilchos Yisodei Torah. The Rambam here describes the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and how he became the accepted Navi of Klal Yisrael. As Moshe Rabbeinu, lo ha'aminu bo Yisrael mipnei oso sha'asa. Moshe Rabbeinu was not accepted by the Jewish people through the signs, the wonders, the miracles that he performed. Shahamamin alpi haosos yesh belibo dofi. That someone who believes because of osos, because of miracles, of wonders, of signs, there's some element of doubt in his heart. There's some element of reservation. Because maybe no matter how wondrous the trick was, the wonder, the sign was, then maybe there was some trick that I didn't quite, no matter how amazing it was, maybe there's something going on here that I don't really know. All of the miracles that Moshe did in the Midbar were all, he did them because they served some necessary purpose. Lo lahavi raya ala nevuah was not for the purposes of substantiating his nevuah. Hayatzar lahashkia es amitrim, he needed to drown the Egyptians, so therefore kara es hayam v'hetzlila n'besocho, so he split the sea and he sunk them in it. Sarachnu lamazon, we needed food. So horid lanu es aman, therefore he brought down the man. Tama'u bakalahen es ha'evin, they were thirsty, so therefore he burst open the rock and the water came out of the rock. Kafru bo adas korach, and the of korach also ha'aretz, so the land swallowed them up. The chen shar kol osel, and so to everything else that Moshe Rabbeinu did, all of these things were all necessary to for some utilitarian function that had to be accomplished at that point. But those were not the point of that. If he didn't have to do them, if the necessity for it wouldn't have come up, he wouldn't have done it. He was not attempting to display his authenticity through through the signs which he performed. Ubameh aminu bo b'ma'amad har Sinai. And so through what did they, ubameh aminu bo, and through what did they believe in him? B'ma'amad har Sinai. It was specifically through the standing at har Sinai. She'einenu ra'u v'lo zar v'aznenu shamu v'lo acher. Because our own eyes saw, and not some stranger, and our own ears heard, it wasn't someone else. Ha'esh v'akolos v'alapidim v'hu nigash el ha'arafel v'akol medaber elav. We saw that all of the things going on at Har Sinai, and we saw Moshe Rabbeinu enter into the fog, and we heard the voice speak to him, v'anu shomim, and we ourselves heard Moshe, leich emor lahem kach v'kach. We heard Hashem say to Moshe, go tell Klal Yisrael such and such a thing. V'chein hu omer, panim b'fanim, da'ber Hashem imachem. That face to face, Hashem spoke with you. Not just with Moshe, but with you. V'ne'amar, lo es avosenu kars Hashem es abris hazos. It was not with our forefathers that Hashem made this bris. Right, Hashem came directly to us. U'minayin shamayim et har Sinai levado hi haraya l'nevuaso, shehi emes. She'ein bo dofi. And where is the proof, the scriptural proof, that Maimed Har Sinai is the specific point at which it's the lone proof to Moshe's nevuah, at which point there was no doubt? She'ne'emar, hine anochi ba'i lecha ba'ava anan ba'vor yishma ha'am bedabri imach, ve'gam becha ya'aminu la'olam, and now they will believe in you forever. Until now, they did not believe in him a permanent belief. Their trust was a trust which had in it a certain reluctance with it. There was a certain second guessing, which even if it was, might have been very faint and very in the back of their minds, it was still there. Even by the Yamsuf, even by Kriyas Yamsuf, when it says, V'he'aminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe abdo, right, it says, and they believed in Hashem, they believed in Moshe, but that was not gam becha yaminu la'olam. That was not an emuna, a belief in Moshe, which set in them a permanent, the 100% surety they had, you know, enough going in which they were reasonably certain. You know, they were maybe beyond reasonably certain, but that there was room for any hint of a doubt. So that's not v'gam b'cha yaminul olam. The only point at which Moshe Rabbeinu becomes an absolutely accepted Navi is from Maimad Har Sinai. Nimtu elu shashulach lehen heim ha'edim al nevuasu. That who are the witnesses that Moshe's nevuah is a good nevuah? The people to whom Moshe Rabbeinu is sent. Shehu emes v'enu tzarech lasos lehen os acher. They themselves are the witnesses that he is an accurate Navi, and he doesn't need to prove himself to them. They themselves were told by Hashem, he is my Navi. Shehem v'hu edim medavar. Now the Rambam makes a very important analogy. Kishne Adam, I'm sorry, no, actually he's going to make this analogy later in a different context. That's not it yet. Kishne Adam Sharo Davar Echad Biyachad, Shakol Echad Mehen Aid Lachaveru, Shahu Omer Emes. Like two Adam who both see the same thing, that each one, his test is, he doesn't need someone to confirm that the other person who saw it with him is telling the truth. Neither of them needs to bring proof to what the other one said. If we both saw the same thing, so I don't need proof that what you said is true. I saw it myself, and you don't need proof that what I said is true. You saw it yourself. Kach Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol Yisrael Edim Lo Acher Maimed Har Sinai. After Maimed Har Sinai, all of Kol Yisrael are the witnesses for Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'enu Tzarech Lasos Lehemos. He has no need to prove himself to them. V'zehu Sha'amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'tchilas Nevuaso. This is what Hashem was telling Moshe at the beginning of his nevuah. Ba'es Shenasan Lo HaOsos Lasos Mitzrayim. At the point at which he said, when he told them to do the signs and wonders that he was going to do in Mitzrayim, and he said, "V'amar lo v'shamu l'kol echa," and he said, "And they will listen to your voice." Yada Moshe Rabbeinu shahamam in api osos yech bilvavo dofi umahar her umachshava. That Moshe Rabbeinu knew if they're just following me because I'm going to perform some impressive signs for them. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that's not such a sturdy, solid ground for belief. V'hayanishmat milelech, and therefore he was trying to slip away from being. He was trying to get out of going. The Amar v'hein lo yaminuli, and he said to Hashem, "They're not going to believe me." An shehodio haKadosh Baruch Hu she'ilu haosos einon ela ad sheyitum mitzrayim. Until Hashem told him that these osos, that these wonders, are only—they're the temporary support for your nevuah. They're only until after you leave Mitzrayim. V'acher sheyetu v'yamdu ha'har hazeh yistalak ahirhor ha'marim acharecha. And after they get out of Mitzrayim and they come to ha'har hazeh, that's where they were when Hashem told Moshe this. They're going to come to this place, and they're going to remove all of the doubts. Sha'ani nosein lecha kan os ani shelach lav lo yishar b'libam hirhor. I'm going to give them a sign that is going to remove all doubts from them, and they'll be remain no remnant of any second guessing. Husha kasev omer, and this is what the pasuk means when it says v'zel lecha os ki ani shelach ticha. This is the sign that I sent you. That when you leave Mitzrayim, you will serve Hashem on this mountain. Hashem was saying, you're worried about going because you think, or you correctly know, that if all you're doing is showing them some osos, that they're not really going to believe you. You're right. The real sign, what will be the real sign that I sent you, which will be lasting and make a real impression, is when they're going to come to Har Sinai, and we're going to have, and they'll be Matan Torah. Nimtes Omer, Shekol, now this is what we came here for. Nimtes Omer, Shekol Navi, Sheyamod Achar Moshe Rabbeinu, any prophet who comes up after Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein anu ma'aminim bo mipnei ha'os levado. We do not believe him because of the proofs that he provides for his nevuah. The Torah provides a context of how a Navi proves himself to be a Navi, and he has to perform certain signs and predict the future and do all kinds of things. That's not why we believe him. Kadesh Namar. It's not just because we say if you do a certain performance that then we'll believe whatever you say. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah gave a mitzvah which said, if the Navi passes the test, then there is a mitzvah from the Torah to believe that Navi. Kimo, very important mashal here. Kimo shet sivanu lach toch adavar al pishnei. Like we are decide the din based on two witnesses, right? The Torah says, al pishnaim edim yukum davar. Yakum davar, right? That the matter is going to be established by two witnesses. Is the Torah telling you a guarantee that two witnesses are telling the truth? Absolutely not. We don't know that these witnesses are telling the truth, but that's the mitzvah that God gave us. Hashem told us, if two witnesses say it, So then you should assume that those two witnesses are telling the truth and believe them, not because you now inherently, intrinsically trust those witnesses, but because the Torah told you they qualify as the witnesses that I am commanding you to listen to. Kach mitzvah lishmo mizeh hanavi. So too it is a mitzvah to listen to such a prophet. Af al pisha ein anu yodim im haos emes obekisha valat. Even though we don't really know if the Navi is really a true Navi, or maybe he's pulling some kind of trick, maybe there's some kind of secret, there's some kind of mirage, whatever, however he's doing it to fool us, we don't know for sure. You don't have 100% surety. If all you had was that Navi, that would be a very questionable thing. Can we believe him? But that is the standard that God told us. If someone does such a thing, you have a mitzvah to listen to such a person. Lefikach, im amad hanavi va'asa osos umosim gedolim. Therefore, if a prophet gets up, or a person gets up, and does wondrous signs and miracles, ubikesh lahakchesh nevuaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and he then seeks to deny or to contradict the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ein shomin lo, you don't listen to him. Ve'anu yodim bebeir she'osim osim osos balat v'kishuv hein. And we know that those miracles were done, that those wonders that he did were done with, there was something to them. Whatever it'll be, the Rambam himself believes that, he says in a couple of places that magic doesn't really exist, and the whole prohibition of doing magic is really to do illusions. So the Rambam, Lishitaso, the Rambam for his own, within his own construct, will tell you that it must be that there's some trick going on here. Whatever they did, it must be there's some trick to it. However they pulled it off, there's some trick going on here. Other Rishonim will tell you that no, there is such a thing as magic, would tell you that it's being done through impure means of whatever they did. But be it as it may, you have before you the evidence of what would otherwise qualify them to be a believable prophet. If they then go on and deny Moshe Rabbeinu, they go on to challenge something that Moshe said, that is the ultimate proof that they are not the Navi who you are supposed to believe. Lefisha nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu eina al pia osos kedesha na'arach osozel osozeh. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is not substantiated through miracles or wonders in such a way that we would now have to contrast and compare and contrast who did the more impressive miracles, who did the better show, who proved themselves more. Ela be'einenu ra'inuha ubazneinu shamanuha kemoshe shamahu. We heard Moshe, the beginning of Moshe's appointment. We heard just as much as Moshe himself heard it. Ha lema davar dome le'edim she'idu la'adam al davar she'ra'a be'enav. That someone who, witnesses who testify to something that you yourself saw. She'eno kemo she'ra'a she'eno shomei lehen ela yodea bevadei she'en edei sheker. That it's not like someone who didn't see or didn't hear. He himself knows. I saw myself that what you said isn't true. Lefikach amra Torah im baha osva mofes lo tishma el divrei Naviyahu. Therefore, the Torah tells us that it's prophet shahar ezeh ba elecha ba'osu mofes lahakrish masha ra'isa be'enecha. He is coming with signs and wonders to deny what you yourself saw. V'horol ve'einanu ma'aminim b'mofes el mipnei ha'mitzvos shatzivanu Moshe he'ach nekabel me'ozezeh shabal ha'kish nivash Moshe shari'inu v'shashamanu. How are you going to deny, how are you going to reject that which we saw ourselves for this which is just being told to us? The nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, all other Nevi'im are only Nevi'im. You can only have a Navi that you trust and rely on because of the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you know that Avram Avinu is a Navi, was a Navi? You only know that Avram Avinu was really a Navi because Moshe Rabbeinu told us so. You only know that Yitzchak and Yaakov were Nevi'im because Moshe Rabbeinu told us so. If you would only, the Gemara actually asks, we're not going to get into the whole discussion, but the Gemara actually asks, at the time of the Akedah, how was Yitzchak allowed to trust Abraham? How could he believe that he's a Navi? That's a good, the premise of the question of the Gemara is, because I don't care what he's done. You can't trust someone to, you're going to sacrifice your own life because maybe he's a Navi? You have no proof that he's a Navi. It's only...
So what is, how does the Gemara answer
that? So that's, I don't want to get so much into the Gemara's answer. The Gemara has a whole discussion of Huchzak, of the... It's complicated.
I can look it up.
It's a bomb kasha.
Yeah. But but so the what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, was the father of Nevi'im, that Moshe Rabbeinu, there only exists such a thing, Nevuah, construct of prophecy, because you have Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu to rely on. When you believe a Navi, you're not believing the Navi because you think he's a trustworthy Navi. You are believing the Navi because Moshe Rabbeinu gave him his hechsher. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if he fulfills such and such and such, then believe him. So who are you believing when you believe this Navi? You're believing Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the authority based on which all other Nevi'im have their authority. Other than that, you can't have Nevuah. You can never have someone who it makes sense to trust to the final, to the end degree, based on just the wonders that he does. It's only because there was a Moshe Rabbeinu who gives absolute proof to his Nevuah, or really that God himself gives absolute proof to his Nevuah based on by us, the people to whom he was sent. They themselves were told he's the Navi. Rav Weinberg used to have a joke that he liked to tell, which illustrated this idea. So there was once a Hasidish Rebbe who passed away, and he had two sons. And he, before he passed away, he did not clarify who was meant to take over. And it formed a big machlokas between the Hasidim. Some of them thought the younger one should be the next Rebbe. Some of them thought the older one should be the next Rebbe. There was a big machlokas until finally one day, one of the two sons, comes into the Beis Medrash, or comes into the Shul, and he gathers together all of the Ziknei Ha'eda, all of the elders of the Hasidus, and he says, I have the solution. Last night, my father came to me in a dream, and he said, it is my ratzon, it is my will that you should take over as the next Rebbe. Now, the Rebbe himself came and said, this is what I want. And they're all mulling this over until one old chassid, you know, raises his hand and he says, excuse me, but if your father wanted us to accept you as the next, he wanted us to know that he wants you to be the next Rebbe, so he shouldn't have came to you in your dream, he should have came to us in our dreams. That's exactly what this ikker is, that point, that if you want to tell everyone else that we're supposed to believe Corey, right? If God wants us to believe Corey, so don't tell Corey to espouse that we're supposed to listen to him. Come to us and tell us to listen to Corey, right? Otherwise, no, I'm listening to Corey, right? What?
Or come through Moshe to tell us, right? Because Moshe...
Well, that's exactly what happened with... What?
How were there Nevi'im
before Moshe? So all Nevi'im before Moshe, that's exactly what I was bringing out from that Gemara, were not Nevi'im who you could really... Would there never have been a Moshe Rabbeinu? We wouldn't know that any of them were Nevi'im.
Why? Well, who says that they were Nevi'im?
What? Moshe Rabbeinu said they were Nevi'im.
Moshe said that Abraham and Yitzchak were Nevi'im.
That's the testimony of the Torah, is that there, when they spoke to God, or when God spoke to them, it really was God speaking to them. Right? If Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Avram Avraham, so that means that God really was speaking to Avraham. If not for that, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu verified that point, we wouldn't know...
Moshe didn't write the Torah.
What?
Moshe didn't write the Torah.
Moshe did write the Torah.
With, I mean, Hashem wrote the Torah.
I mean, Hashem told Moshe what to write. But, but meaning...
It's not for Moshe. I mean, it's not... Moshe,
it's because it was communicated to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not Moshe deciding. It's Moshe testifying. Moshe is relating to us as the only Navi that we can trust without any other verification, because God himself told us everything that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, everything there in the Torah, we know it is coming from God's prophet. And therefore, everything in the Torah, we'll talk that when we get to the eighth principle, this is, I was not going to get into this, the difference between the seventh principle and the eighth principle is, the seventh principle is Moshe Rabbeinu's authenticity, and the eighth principle is Moshe Rabbeinu's accuracy. And they're very, but their own point that need to be understood on their own. But Moshe Rabbeinu's authenticity, the fact that if Moshe Rabbeinu said it, that means we know it's true, is because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Navi who Hashem told us to believe him. I need to get to one more point before we finish, because I want to add one more thing, and we are going to run out of time soon. On the next page, the Malbim explains very nicely what the difference is between, he's quoting partly from the Sefer HaEikrim, what the difference is between the type of sign that every other prophet brings and the type of sign that Moshe Rabbeinu showed us. Starting from where I underlined, we're going to go from there till the end of the piece, we'll try and do it quickly, it says, Ulam lama hayatzar hanes hanifla hazeh asher lo haya kamo lamin habriya harishona. Why did Hashem, the first half of this paragraph is explaining how Maimed Har Sinai was such a miraculous thing which could not exist naturally. And he says, why was it necessary to have such a breach of the regular order of things? Zeber hetev beikrim maimer rishon. Shachakar basher nimtu datos rabos nikros elohus elohios vakabala nimshachos buachas labali datsahu. There are many different religions. Bame yodea efo hahevdo bein adas elokis hamitis ubein hamizuyefes mismada be elohis veinena elokis. That there, how will you know the difference between the counterfeit one and the one which really comes from God? Vayomer ki emos adavar al shnei parim. There are two ways to verify something. Im emus atmi, the emus bilti atmi. One is intrinsic, and one is extrinsic. Va emus atmi hu she yis amar adavar. Im mitzat sibosav. Im mitzat segulosav atmios. Something being verified from within itself. Va emus bilti atmi hu she yis amar adavar atmi emus mikri. Is a more happenstance verification. If that didn't, I'll explain what it means now. He says, skipping to the last line. V'hamashol bazeh. An analogy for this. There are two, let's call them pharmacists, who are brought before the doctors, the medical experts, to make hatria kagadol, to make the magic potion, you know, the panacea, the amar, and they said. And one of them said, "Ki hu yirkach hatriak, rakuach yafa, matzil mikol minei sarayim avas." He says, "I'm going to make this potion that can save you from anything." Mikola arsiim beraya shehu yir lifnehem. That in the proof that he's going to show them, basaro haafa'a the kol asamim ruim likanis hatriak batriak. He shows them all of the ingredients which are known to be what goes into this potion. Ve'yinasa segulos kol asamim apshutim ve'hochru kulam she'ein bem chashashdiyuf, and he demonstrates that each of the ingredients is authentic. She'ein safek shatriyak she'nasa al ze aderech ein bo chashashdiyuf. There's no question that this is counterfeit. What he makes is a fake. Ve'cheinim yivarer she'atriyak hu tov b'raya shu yirap es cholim sh'ray l'rapim b'triyak. Or he proves it by, he makes this potion and then uses it to heal the people who are supposed to be healed by it, and they're all healed, they're all cured. Shezeb barar adav, berar adavar mitzad tugulos of atmios avishinu barar chazak harishon. He verifies that it works the way it's supposed to work. It's not quite as good as the first one where he actually showed you, look, I did what I said I did, but he verified that it works the way it's supposed to work. That's one way to verify it. Vaharokeach hasheni, the second pharmacist, Yomar kihu yivarer hatriak shaasa. He brings in a potion that he made, and he says, "This potion is triak, right? Shahu tov, and I'll show you that it's good. How am I going to prove to you that it's good? Al yadei sheyaasa ososumopsim. I'm going to show you all kinds of wondrous things that I can do. Shayelech through the Ukedome. He says, you know how I'm going to prove to you that I'm telling the truth? I'm going to walk through the fire and not get burned, and I'm going to cause the tree to uproot, and I'm going to do all kinds of wondrous things to show you that obviously I am powerful, and therefore what I did, you should believe me. Right? What? Ze eino raya atzmis. Al tova ze triak. That's not an intrinsic raya. That's not an intrinsic proof to what he did. He's merely showing you an outside proof about himself, and therefore extrapolate from me to what I'm telling you. V'chein hanavi shirot levar shenivuasu emes alidei sheyitein osos umofsim eino barer atzmi. That the Navi who wants to verify his nevuah through signs and wonders that he does. He can walk on water. Very nice. The kol shekeinim yirtzeh levar al yedei zeh shu shaliach me'eis Hashem li nasin Torah al yado. Al kein gam shenitztavinu l'shmoa el hanavi asher yitein osu mofes. Even though we are commanded to believe a Navi who brings a sign, as long as he doesn't deny, he doesn't do twisted things, meaning he doesn't contravene the Torah. You can't have a shaliach of the Torah through that. This is the quote, the Rambam that we just saw, that by Torah we ourselves saw the authentication of the Torah is not because Moshe Rabbeinu established that obviously he has some powers, and therefore, because there's something supernatural going on about me, believe me about that other thing that I said. The verification was intrinsic. We saw the Torah itself. What we saw, the sender of the message himself told us, this is my messenger. He showed us that Moshe Rabbeinu is the accurate Navi, and therefore that's why you can, the only Navi who you can believe intrinsically is Moshe Rabbeinu. And any other Navi, even though we believe him because he fulfilled what Moshe said to do, but you could not have Torah through that. The centrality of this Iker, of this idea, very nicely illustrated by a story with Rav Weinberg. We've discussed that the idea of the Ikrim, the reason an Iker is, the reason something is an Iker is because if you don't believe this, then even though you may keep the Torah, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, you're doing it not because you have to, but because you haven't yet decided to stop. If you have a backdoor exit and you know that whenever you want, you could weasel your way out of it, then you are not really keeping Torah. So how does that apply here? Rav Weinberg had an amazing story. He got up one day and he said, he predicted that at the time the Mormon church did not accept blacks as members of the church. And he got up and he said, in 2 years, the Mormons are going to get a nevuah that comes from on high, that they are, from now on, they are meant to accept blacks as members of their church. And Rav Weinberg, recounting this later, said he was absolutely wrong, he was completely off, it took 3 years. 3 years later, the Mormons got a nevuah that, from now on, change of plans, you should accept blacks as members of the church. Because it was becoming so politically incorrect and so in a public relations so uncomfortable for the church to continue being racist in that way, that obviously they had to change it if they wanted to continue to be a competing organization. So what happens? So if you have to change something, so you know what? When you need a nevuah, you'll get it. If, whenever it becomes necessary to change the rules, you can change the rules, because whenever the impetus becomes strong enough, okay, you know, well, I will wanted to hear. Great. That means that no matter what rules you have, you'll change them when you need to. If Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah could be contested later, if he was not the absolute ultimate Navi, and a later Navi, it was Shayach, it was possible in any way, shape, or form that a later Navi could come and change things, could be on the same level, there's no Torah. As soon as something becomes too difficult, too uncomfortable, you're not happy, too unhappy with it, you'll find a nevuah that tells you that, oh, you know what, things have changed. And that's happened throughout the Doros. You have that things have changed because they're not working out so well for us the way we have our religion. We got to make some tweaks. That is, you've undermined the entirety of the binding nature of anything if anything is subject to change when it becomes too uncomfortable. And that's the centrality that Moshe is the Av HaNaviim. He is the Navi that is the only one who has this revelation on such a level that there's no one who can contradict it. It's on a level, on a madrega, which is qualitatively different than any other Navi. As the Rambam said, there's no matching them up, there's no pitting them against each other and saying, is this Navi the better Os, or is this Navi the bigger Os? Moshe Rabbeinu is not from Osos, it's on a qualitatively different level, and therefore there's no way you can question it, and there's no way to change it, and that makes the Torah permanent and binding, that the vis-a-vis all other Navim, there's no other Navi who could ever come and question and attempt to suggest editing, altering, updating the Nevuah that came from Moshe Rabbeinu.